My interest is in US trains, particularly diesel about 1985-86 in the Colorado region, and I've got a large layout basically designed for that purpose. I use a different system to running trains to here. I use DCC, which was command control, digital command control, which includes sound on locos, so the sound comes through from the locos and rolling stock. But I've been involved with the club since about 83 when it was formed, and we've seen numerous things that happen. We've increased the size of our building several years ago. We've had a membership, old and new. We've seen some new members come in and people move from the district, other ones come in. As Lindsay said, it depends on your interest, what you do in the hobby. I mean, there's several scales. We in this club mostly run HO size trains, which is about 1/87th scale. Doesn't make much sense to people, but 3.5 millimetres of the foot. Then there's N scale, which is much smaller. It looks like about half the size of the HO. And then there's O scale, which is just about double this size, but very few people do that except in narrow gauge, which means little old steamers that run in backward places, mostly logging or mining or something like that. But there's a lot of interest to run, build, do scenery, paint, colour. You know, there's so many facets of the hobby. I don't particularly like the electrical side, or the electronic side, and yet that's what I've got into. That's the most difficult one usually to understand if you're not that way inclined. Mm. But I like scenery. I love mountainous scenery and things like that. Buildings and operating. I like operating trains as something like as they would in the real life. We've got a lot of people who have perhaps limited experience in our club, but there's one or two of us are more senior, and perhaps we have a bit more understanding of the thing. But that's what the hobby's about, so you grow and understand a bit more.
I mean, the period that you mentioned that you're interested in, that's a very specific thing. What's the attraction with those years and that place and so on?
Well, it's the type of locos, the type of organisations or companies that ran them. I mostly model Burlington Northern, and I also have a bit of Southern Pacific, Santa Fe and Rio Grande, which are all involved in Colorado. Right. So, and that's, but I run a model A for fictitious line that goes from Boulder, Colorado to Rawlins, Wyoming. So there's no such line that goes through that, but I've modelled one that goes right through the mountains in that area. So that's what I've done.
When we talk about modelling a line, then, in most cases, Lindsay, I don't know, with these sorts of clubs, do you try to base what you do on something that does exist, or is a lot of it just about making stuff up?
Well, it can be both, and part of the joy can be as Ray sort of modelling a fictitious line, and that gives you a certain amount of latitude, but even basing it on real life happenings, but giving you some poetic license. But at our exhibition, we'll be having a layout that's based particularly on Mildura, for instance, at a particular time period, and that'll model all the buildings of Mildura, the locomotives that would have run there, the rolling stock that would have run there. So that's quite specific, and that can be quite demanding because you've got to do a lot of research. You've got to model all the buildings, and that can be quite, you know, getting all the dimensions, photographing, all that sort of thing. If you do have a what's so-called freelance line, one that is a product of your imagination, you can run it pretty much any way you like. If you model Mildura at a particular time or one of our local railway lines at a particular time, then it's probably more demanding, but perhaps more rewarding as well, depending on what you're interested. My particular interest is trains that have run to Warrnambool, but I'm not, unlike Ray, I'm not time specific. So any time through the last 100 years, I'm interested in trains that would have ran along the Warrnambool line and their branch lines, particularly to Mortlake and to Timboon. So as you can see, in a club, we share our different interests. There's a commonality of interest, but also we have different ideas as well. So it means different people bring in different locomotives or photographs or holidays, going overseas to research railways overseas if they modelled an overseas railway. So it can just bring in so many facets to the club.
So Ray, with yours then, I mean, are there other people in the world who share your particular passion for such a designated period?
Well, yes. I belong to the NMRA, which is a big American organisation, but it's worldwide. There's something like 18 to 20,000 members of us, and we correspond by internet as well. And we've got websites where we contact one another, and there's an Australasian a membership of it. And seeing that you Lindsay mentioned specific time periods, etc., and specific eras, at this exhibition we're also having a British layout by a friend of mine. It's called Evershot, which is basically about 1942 to 44 in Britain. That's a specific area, a specific place, and he's modelled it all that on that particular area, including the type of locos, rolling stock, and he's even got trains that have what would have the Red Cross on it for injured soldiers, etc. So that's another one. And that's another part of our club, is that we have an exhibition each year. And we started, our first exhibition was in 99, and we've continued ever since to do that. And that does take up a bit of our organisation and time to get people from different parts of Victoria, some of New South Wales, some from even South Australia, to come across and bring some of their layouts on display. And we're very pleased that they do, because they add a bit of colour and spice to the exhibition as so doing, aren't they, Lindsay?
Yeah. And I guess that's we try to showcase the hobby,
yeah,
and show people's different skills. So at the exhibition we have people constructing a building, so they might have the plans or they might have the photos, and then you can see them building that building or building that particular item of rolling stock. And we hope that just inspires people, not necessarily to join the hobby, but just to appreciate the skills involved. And the hobby gives me a lot of joy. It's very hard to explain, I guess, but it's a wonderful thing to have something that you share with other people, that you can laugh about, sort of grumble about at times, you know, come to blows about at times. And yeah, I just think it's a wonderful thing in life to share an interest and a passion, and it probably doesn't matter what that passion is, really, as long as you enjoy it and you share it with others.
What's involved in bringing a layout to something like your the display this weekend? Because, I mean, these are big things, aren't they?
It is quite a big logistical exercise, though. Some of them have specially constructed trailers. Our biggest model on display will weigh just short of half a tonne. So to transport something like that, you need a tandem trailer or lifting equipment. So that'll be, that particular model will be of one of the puffing billies that ran down to Beach Forest, and we'll actually be featuring Beach Forest a little bit. We'll have one layout called the Beachy, and we'll have several models of the NA class locomotives, the narrow gauge locomotives, as running on puffing billy. So for someone to bring a layout, they often need trailers or specialised equipment. It's just fascinating to see them setting up on Friday afternoon, and all these sort of things come together, and you're just thinking, and it all comes together. You just think, oh my goodness! But it's extraordinary. And then on Sunday evening, it all gets packed away again, and we can pack the whole exhibition away in roughly about 2 hours, which is just amazing. From having running trains all to packed up in their trailers inside 2 hours. So, but it's taken us a bit of practice.
You must all just spend your weekend celebrating over everybody else's tracks, do you, and wanting to play with them?
Oh, well, people are very kind. They do let us play with them sometimes, and sometimes we let others play with ours. And actually, at the exhibition, we do try and make a point of making sure the youngsters get a drive and a bit, and see behind the scenes, see some of the controls and some of the wiring, see how it all works. We do try to make it a family-friendly exhibition, and you know, people can have a go. And well, I guess we hang on to our hat if something, if we have a train crash into another train. But it's got to be fun. And on the one hand, we're quite serious about it. Ray he sells himself short. He does a lot of research on his particular interests and prototypes. And we probably all do to a certain degree. But at the end of the day, it's still got to be fun. And it's still grown men playing with trains, really. Dare I say it?
They're toys.
There's probably a lot that we could obviously discuss about the hobby this weekend. I'm presuming that you'll be happy to talk to people when they come along.
And people often bring in a train, perhaps it's not, you know, they've got it for Christmas, perhaps it's not working very well, or you know, they want some ideas to develop it further. So you certainly don't have to be a member of the club. We certainly welcome new members, but people do bring in perhaps equipment. Perhaps they've had sitting under a bed 20 or 30 years and they want to bring it out and give it another run, so it needs a bit of a clean-up. So, yeah, certainly we're very happy to try and encourage people and give them some help there. And there'll be exhibitors there as well that'll have specialised knowledge that people can ask questions and get more information about.